During your service on the court, was it perhaps excessively preoccupied with things like the guilty plea cases, procedural matters having to do with criminal trials, workers' comp, cases that somehow put into the basket a lot more things that had a inherent philosophical division in them than is normally the diet of the court? Or do you?
I don't think the period of time that I was there was outstanding for anything of that nature. I remember one of the cases that I wrote that gave me the most trouble was People Against Cooper.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah.
Please.
Cooper had been, had walked into a bank in Battle Creek, and it happened to be the bank in the building of which Mary Coleman had her Battle Creek office. Mm-hmm. And he threatened them with a bomb.
Referring to People versus Cooper, correct?
People versus Cooper, yeah. That's, let's see.
You wrote that one, didn't you?
Yeah, 398 Mish 450. Yeah, I did write it.
Okay.
And there was no question but that he had done this. He had raised in his trial in federal court for a violation of the federal criminal statutes.
Was it bank robbery statutes?
Yeah, yeah. He had raised the defense of insanity, mental incompetence and insanity, in essence, that he lacked the will to commit. And my understanding is that the federal case was tried very poorly by the prosecution. In any event, he was acquitted. He then was brought to trial under a state statute that was much the same type of thing, and was convicted. And the question that he raised was one of double jeopardy. And there was a real argument and some statutory basis for holding that, as between the federal and state approach to this, there was not double jeopardy. And unless the guy was mentally incompetent, and incidentally, he argued his own case before the court, and it was a case, Roger, this is a personal note, my father happened to be visiting us from Syracuse, New York, at the time that this case was argued, and I told him that I thought he might enjoy that case because it was a case that was causing me some trouble. And he was in the courtroom and listened to it and did enjoy hearing it. This guy argued his own case, and Cooper...
Very, very well, too.
Very well. Very well. He had had nothing to do for the year or two because he lost his job as an English teacher. He was not... he was an English teacher, I think, in a high school or maybe a junior college. I don't recall where, but he had been an English teacher. He was an educated man. His thought processes were good and so forth. And he did a very good job. And the case was assigned to me. Now, I know the guy did the act. There wasn't any question about that.
Did he not? Was it not a spectacular? This was not a garden variety bank robbery. Didn't he have some dynamite strapped to his belt or something like that? And
I don't recall whether it was that or whether he just had a bomb in a suitcase or something. Mary Coleman said to me, "Oh, dear me, the people with whom I live aren't going to understand if this man walks free." So we had to wrestle with this case. And I finally was convinced that the double jeopardy claim was a valid claim, and that we had to reverse the conviction. And it was a tough one for me, for all the reasons that I've mentioned. And Mary Coleman finally concurred in that at the end. But it was that case I remember very well.
Well, you carried the day, didn't the whole court come along with you?
We did. We finally all. I believe it was unanimous. My recollection is that it was unanimous.
This happened, I think, just before I got there, and it was a celebrated case as I heard about it because of the way this fellow handled himself. Usually, is it not true that when you have somebody arguing, what is the old aphorism? A fool would hire himself to defend
the lawyer who pleads his own case as a fool for a client.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.